Now, Sports Talk with Broads. Here's Hunter Brody.
Isn't it the best when you piss off Celtics fans and you piss off Josh Richardson and you piss off anybody related to that trash city? Oh, it's beautiful. Great win for the Sixers. Before we break it down, if you're new to the channel, smash that subscribe button. Hit the thumbs up button as well. Thank you all so much for the wild support. It's been an amazing journey. Thank you. And if you're looking to buy tickets to go to any NBA, NHL, NFL game as the playoffs are ready to kick off, you can use the promo code BROADS at SeatGeek's checkout page for $20 off. So all those fees you get hit with at the end and you go, what the hell? That's not what I thought it would be. Forget about it. It's evaporated. Poof. Gone. Promo code BROADS. SeatGeek checkout. Make sure you get yourself to a game today. And lastly, TikTok. BROADS Media. We're incorporating some fun things over there. With that being said, enjoy the show. Oh, there is nothing better than beating the Boston Celtics. They suck. I can't stand looking at them. Here's Al Horford with that stupid face. And then his family members are tweeting up a storm that, oh, the Sixers aren't really beating the Celtics. The Celtics are beating the Celtics. Say that to Matisse Thybulle's 5 steals and 2 blocks. Say that to Tyrese Maxey and his 5 triples alongside Seth Curry's 5 threes. Joel Embiid's out there trying to take people's lives. Here's Naismith underneath the basket being a damn fool. Oh, what I would have done if Joel Embiid landed that big time dunk at the end. I know he didn't hit his 30 points, and that would have been such an awesome thing for us to experience. But what I loved most about this basketball team tonight is they just fell flat on their face against the Charlotte Hornets, where I had to see Gordon Hayward drop way too many damn buckets on you, and they just didn't have it, right? Well, they get an opportunity to see their rival with one day break, so they have Thursday off. The game against Charlotte was Wednesday. They get to kind of hit that reset button for Thursday, attack their most hated rival, Josh Richardson's face, and the audacity for this guy to talk smack and chirp underneath the basket as if he isn't overrated, as if Daryl Morey didn't wax that ass when making the trade to acquire Seth Curry, and it was clear as hell that that was a major A-plus for Morey and a great move for the Philadelphia 76ers. Robbery, some would say. Actual thief. We're thieves for taking that possible trade and making it work. Come on now. Making it work. No, not for making it work. It was gonna work because of the electricity from Seth Curry compared to Josh Richardson being a bum. This team, the 76ers, they were prepared, they were determined, and they had the proper mindset right from the jump. And that's why you saw that obnoxious run to start the game. They go on a major run early. They outscore the Celtics 32-14 in the first quarter. Disruption involved. And I've been very brutal on Matisse Thybulle, and I still stand by everything I've said. And I still think with the long-term conversation on Matisse Thybulle that there are legit worries based off of the inability to be an offensive player. But he does have this unique skill set, and he deserves a lot of credit for what he was able to do. Unfortunately, he took that tough fall when going to the basket, and there was a bit of a touch on his back. Do I think that played a major role in him landing on his back the way that he did, and he did not return to the basketball game? There was a tiny spurt where he hit a bucket right after it happened. The place erupted. The crowd went crazy. But then he did leave the game, and that was a scary ass fall. My fiance and I were watching the game. We're eating a little bit of ice cream. I went weird today. I went Haagen-Dazs and it was vanilla with blackberry and a chunk and chunks of chocolate. This thing was beautiful. It was so damn good, so damn lethal. I'll get it again for sure. Of course, I got one of those pints and ate the whole damn thing right after I came back from the gym about an hour ago. Not that anybody cares about what I'm doing with my outside of sports talk life. life, I guess. Probably people don't give a damn whatsoever. They're here for the Sixers conversation. So let's get back on track. When Matisse Thybulle hit his back on the floor, we both did the, and then my ice cream even fell off my spoon, went to the floor. That's why there's the correlation here. Dog ended up eating it. My dog has a cone on her head right now because she's getting fixed, and she's running all around going nuts, being a crazy-ass dog running, going with the zoomies nonstop late at night. Once again, no one gives a damn about my personal life. We're here to talk about the greatness of what this team put on display today and how they were active, and they just destroyed and annihilated the Celtics right from the jump. Matisse Thybulle, the fact that Jason Tatum shot 7 of 17 and Jaylen Brown shot 7 of 18, and for his versatility to be shown on what he can do, whether it's just being a motherfucker to play against, blocking shots out by the perimeter, or his ability to kind of get his fingerprints on things and get his hands in the mix that make players feel so uncomfortable. And yeah, there is a uniqueness to what he can provide, and there's no denying that that defense is special. When he locks in on this type of degree, and we've seen that before this season where, you know, you think of who stood out to you the most. Normally we say Joel Embiid. You can make the argument Tyrese Maxey for his ability to knock down shots and how comfortable he looks when he is taking those threes in rhythms. When he lets the ball fly and it's leaving his hand, you could tell by his body language that he's already backtracking to start playing defense, and he knows it's hitting nothing but net. It's such a big improvement, and it's such a big jump already in such a small time throughout his career. That's what makes me get all childish inside with all these goosebumps and chills thinking about, okay, if he's already taken this leap in this limited amount of action, what is the future? What is about to happen to the 76ers when you think about Tyrese Maxey playing such a big impact on who they are and their identity, which somewhat ties perfectly into this whole story that was being released throughout the day today about De'Aaron Fox, and apparently it's being reported that the 76ers are not interested in that, and I'm okay with that. Look, De'Aaron Fox is a bigger name than he actually is with where he is into his career. We talk about growth. Think about where De'Aaron Fox is after his time, and think about Tyrese Maxey, and they play a similar style, and I've mentioned this before, but now it's a perfect time to reincorporate it based off of people being outraged that De'Aaron Fox isn't a starter for them. You already have a better version of De'Aaron Fox. I truly believe that Tyrese Maxey can be a way better De'Aaron Fox, and I know post-game Doc Rivers is talking about getting him moving a little bit more fast-paced, keep the intensity up, and keep the ball kind of flowing, and let's just attack, and we want that to keep being a emphasis, I guess we should say, on what he could do for this organization and how that can help run the offense. And that ties together with De'Aaron Fox because that's what he's a motor. He's nonstop. But he's not very good. He really isn't. And why would I give up a Ben Simmons for something I already have and something that is going to be better by the end of it? I guarantee you that Tyrese Maxey will be better than De'Aaron Fox by the end of their career. So it wouldn't make any sense. Let's get a lesser version of Tyrese Maxey for Ben Simmons. Please, really give me the benefits to that. I don't see it whatsoever, so I'm not going to have this pouring out of emotions and this anger flowing towards Daryl Morey. That just happens when you want anyone. I want anybody. Anyone but Ben. Just do it already. That's the type of individuals that feel that level of disappointment when they see a report that flies around Twitter sphere that way. This team, just going back to the defense, Joel Embiid had a big part of that as well. The best way I can describe it is he's the anchor. Without Joel Embiid just being him and his presence being felt out there on the floor, you don't get that confidence in Maxey. You don't get that confidence in this team. It all stems from the big man and what he's able to do, even if it's not something that pops out on the stat sheet. Some things are so damn valuable to a basketball team that isn't documented, right? It's not there where it's just being in the right place at the right time. So maybe Joel Embiid didn't necessarily record a block, record a steal. Somebody else did in front of him, but just the fact that he's in that paint area, he's sliding over, he's protecting the right way defensively, that was definitely on my radar, as well as being one-on-one with Al Horford, hitting a fadeaway, Jimmy. And then on the defensive side, let's say he does get on the stat sheet. Yeah, he's just stealing cookies from Al Horford. He's on the ground. He's throwing elbows, and he even gives Al Horford a bit of a stare down afterwards as if, get the fuck off me. Get off me. And it did feel like he was playing up to the crowd a bit. As much as we despise Al Horford, I would have to imagine, and maybe I'm wrong, this is all just speculation and how I see it. But, you know, when you're in this community and you're in this NBA world, I don't think Joel Embiid hates Al Horford. In the NBA world, he's a respected veteran who has a role. And no matter what happened last year, I imagine they don't hate each other. I thought he gave him that look and gave him that attitude and made sure that it was well known just to get a spark out of the crowd in the Wells Fargo Center, cheer on Embiid. Just like when he hits that Jimmy where he gets fat out in midair, but his body control was just perfectly angled. His shoulders are square as he's getting fouled going up and gets to the free throw line and does his hand movements, right? Egging everybody on. And there's nothing better. I didn't really notice it so much today. It was more, I think this might have been against Charlotte when they lost, but it was early on when Embiid made a bucket or so, and it was the wicked. When Wicked plays by Future, Wicked, right? And he makes a big jam, or, you know, he takes it to the rack nicely and he kisses it off the glass. Maybe a Euro, nothing like a 7-foot Euro as he's moving towards the basket full speed. Nothing better than Joel Embiid and Wicked. That's almost the perfect combination out there in life. You think peanut butter and jelly? Fuck no. Joel Embiid and Wicked, okay? That's reality of the situation. What else happened out there? Tobias Harris took advantage of some matchups that he had early on. Now, when Jason Tatum picked up his second foul, he ends up going to the bike and riding the bike a little bit. You know, you could just see that he was frustrated. And there's a lot that had to be said about the Sixers' defense. I also saw just piss-poor decisions as well. Jaylen Brown pushing the pace, clearly has a target to make a pass in front of him, waits an extra 3 seconds. Matisse Thybulle is able to get back. And that was more just missing the play. Like, Jason Tatum taking some shots. No shot's a bad shot for Jason Tatum. Not that I would feel any differently if he was on the Sixers. I would trust Jason Tatum because I like the player that he is. But there are some times where you go, whew, Jesus, what was going on in his brain during that possession? He was getting mad. He was getting bothered. And when he's sitting on the ground after a shot and the ball goes out of bounds and you could see that his hands are wrapped around his knees waiting for one of his teammates to kind of grab him, you could just feel that vibe and feel that energy that he felt depleted and almost hopeless. He had no hope that they'd get out of that funk. That's what happens when you dig yourself such a hole early on. And yeah, I mean, it was really all Sixers. No matter what the final box score says and what it ended up being, it was 111-99, if I remember off the top of my head. Not that that truly matters. But yeah, I mean, it was definitely all Sixers. And my big point is they bounced back from Charlotte. And that matters to me. Now, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go to Twitter just to see if anything was said after the game. I know Tyrese Maxey came in singing, clap your hands, everybody, which is always awesome. Let's see here. Everyone's been telling Maxey to shoot more and trust his work. It seems like a common theme. I guess Tyrese Maxey said that to the media, that guys are keeping me active and making sure that I'm in that mindset of let me shoot the ball and keep shooting. Joel Embiid said the same thing to me, Matisse Thybulle. So I just think that's a normal message that should be said to a team that passes up open looks a lot earlier in the season. They kick the ball around because nobody's willing to let it fly. Today, I did see some good ball movement to the corner. Seth Curry for three, Tobias Harris moving the basketball. So you did see some of that, and they were willing to take their open shots where in weeks past and in games past, I don't think I could necessarily have said the same thing. So it's just a common message right now for some of these guys. It's keep shooting, keep shooting, keep shooting. Don't be afraid, because guess what? Teams are going to bring double teams to Joel Embiid, and they're going to make sure the ball gets out of his hands. And when he does find you for an open look, you can't hesitate. You can't take an extra second. As I just alluded to with Jaylen Brown, when you do, well, that gives the other team a handful of seconds to fight back and get back into their defensive set and defensive rhythm. It'll probably end up in something that's not good. What else do we have here? Anything else going on? Nothing really stands out to me for some of these quotes. So, all right, I just wanted to peek my head in and see. We're going to take some text messages here. We definitely have some text messages from you out there. Before we get to that, DeSimone Jewelers, they are my jewelers. My fiance's engagement ring came from them, and I continue to go back. So birthday gifts, holidays, Valentine's Day, a random Tuesday for being a nice guy. They're a family-owned business located in Haddonfield, New Jersey, previously in Jewelers Row. Will, Lou, Nick, and Mike, they treat you like family. You are a DeSimone the moment you walk into the door. They work with you to get the best design at the most reasonable price you will find in the market. They provide custom jewelry, jewelry repairs, appraisals, watch repairs, battery replacement, diamond settings, so much more, so much more. So if you go into their place in Haddonfield, New Jersey, DeSimone Jewelers, and you tell them that Brode sent you, they will hook you up like you've never seen before. Their website, DeSimoneJewelers.com. You can definitely check out more information there. The amount of people that reach out to me and said, yo, Brodes, I went in and it was unbelievable. It makes me feel good because I've used them on many, 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 many occasions. They do nothing but best-in-class work, and they treat you like you are seriously a DeSimone, and that matters to me. So to hear that other people are having that same experience as well, that's what it's all about. And you can join the DeSimone family as well. So DeSimone Jewelers, make sure you check them out. Yeah, I liked Tobias's game early on, to be honest with you. I did. I liked Tobias's game early on. Just, it's a lot for him. And I even liked how he handled things, not that I'm surprised, professionally over the last couple of press conferences based off of the trade rumors and speculation. And he said, look, it's the nature of the business. It did eat me at times, and it did get to me at times, but it's the nature. And I've been in this position before, so I could imagine it's not easy, but what do you have to do? You got to put it behind you and keep going. Keep your head down. Don't let it impact you. Don't let it affect you too much. Even if it does off the floor and you think about it when you're at home and you're hanging out, you're throwing on football, right? You're cooking dinner, you're mowing the lawn. I don't know. Does Tobias Harris mow his lawn? I'd probably imagine they get people to do the service for you if you're in an area like that. Once you hit that floor, though, go play. And he's had some ups, he's had some downs, but when they went on that big spurt early, I was thinking this to myself, wow, this team sure looks different when Tobias Harris is 5 of 7, right? When Tobias Harris is knocking down his shots, when he's attacking the rim, when there's no hesitation, when he's taking advantage of a defender that wouldn't be able to stay with him. Use your body size, use your structure. I thought that Toby early, it really does sort of show you, wow. And I know it's a lot more than that. It's way more than just one person with some of these games that we've saw this year where it does look a tad off for the Sixers. I'm not saying it's one, but you get the version of Tobias last year, and look at where the Sixers are right now with their record. It's clearly improved to an area that we are okay with. Imagine what it could possibly be if we just had a more consistent Toby. I'm not expecting that. I just think it's going to be one of those years for the ups and downs, trade speculation, injury, playing banged up. And now with Matisse, you don't know where he's going to be with this injury for tomorrow's back-to-back. I'd probably take a guess that he's going to be insanely sore and wouldn't be able to go, but we'll get more information as time moves forward here. We heard about Shake Milton and the fact that he's nowhere close to being ready, and he's moving along slow. So it just seems with this team, and it's not just the Sixers, but it's so damn random every night, and it's so hard. And I give them a lot of credit for putting together, what was it? They won 7 straight, then they lost their 8th. So they won 8 of their last 9 games. To do that is impressive. No matter what it is, to win 8 of your 9 that's a difficult task to do. So I give them a lot of credit. And today, it's simple, it's basic, it's standard. But I like the way to describe this as it's about the team win. Joel, his 25, what did he finish with? 25, 13, and 6 or so? 25, 13, and 6. And we look at that as not his strongest, which cracks me up. I can't believe he missed that dunk. I would have went bonkers. I would have lost my damn mind if he ended Naismith's career with that jam. The ball went so hard off the rim area, it was flying back to Canada. Honestly, it felt like it was going all the way out the West Coast. I love myself some Joel Embiid, that's for damn sure. Thibault, Maxey, Seth with his 5 threes. You just go down the list of players who stepped up. They were prepared and they were ready. They were ready to compete and ready to beat their opponent. And they sure did. And they embarrassed the Celtics, and that's what we enjoy seeing, no doubt. All right, let's go to some text messages here. And the first one is from Corey. Let me maximize this a little bit. I feel like I'm an old man with the glasses that look over top of the glasses, or the iPhone people, the old people who don't know how to look at the iPhone, so they look at it from a weird angle. It's kind of how I do this sometimes. But all right, let's see the text. It's from Corey. Hey, Broach, huge win for the Sixers. I know you love being hard on Matisse, but these are the type of outcomes that make me skeptical if Daryl Morey was to ever trade him, because I believe at his best, he wrecks games. Look, Corey, you're not wrong. You're absolutely not wrong. He has the ability to steal games and really piss opponents off, get in their grill, and they fire him up. Like, he's a pest. He's annoying. He's scrappy. And he does it at such a successful rate that it makes it even more annoying. Some guys just play hard, and yeah, it sucks. But at the end of the day, they just make you earn what you're going to get. But then there are times where Matisse Thybulle takes it to the next level where it's not even about making them earn it. They're not earning anything. They can't earn anything because they can't get by you. And then when teammates try and pass the ball out by the perimeter, his hands are right there. He gets an easy steal, and then he's slamming the basketball, or it's just a fast break that happens, and it leads to a wide open shot, or it leads to Joel Embiid running through the floor as fast as humanly possible. And Matisse was flying. He looked like Usain Bolt when he was running for that breakaway slam. I was shocked by how fast he was going, and I think, obviously, the fall made you realize the speed, but damn, he was running. I mean, run. I thought he was running the Boston Marathon. He was trying to win it. That's how fast he was going out there. Matisse Thybulle has value around this league in a possible trade because of that. So there's something, too. You got to give to get, though. And if you got a package, that doesn't change my opinion or my fear for him long term. This is all great, and this is amazing, and it matters. And this is a really awesome thing to witness. It really is. I think it's still fair, though, even though there's like three of these dominant wow games involved this year, which think about how many defenders can have that level of wow games. Three, maybe, off the top of my head. Maybe I'm even missing some, but three, wow. Five steals, two blocks. And it was more than just what is stated on the box score. It's just feel and the feistiness. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. There's a player in him. There's still problems that are going to happen in slower-paced games, no doubt. Now, he makes good plays. It's not like he never does anything right. And I'm not going to bash him today because I thought today he was the most exciting player to watch out there. I truly do believe that. So it's not the day to do it. There have been plenty of days to do it, and there probably will be more days to do it because I want more. Why? Because if Matisse Thybulle that improves on the other end, if this is the level of defense he could play, you're never taking him off the court. He's never taken off the court at all. And he's always defending the Jaylen Browns and the Tatums, and wow. It doesn't change my thought for a trade, though. If that's the difference in landing something that makes the whole Ben Simmons thing worth it, I won't let a role player change that. And at the end of the day, he is a role player. He is a role player. Role players should never be the difference in landing something back. If it takes role players, you can find role players. It's a tough business, but that's reality. Tanner chimes in. Broads, I'm so happy that the Sixers recovered from the ugly loss when Charlotte was here. You mentioned it in your latest show. If they win over the weekend, then it's more of just a blip on the radar. It's a shame Embiid couldn't land his 30 points. Still loved everything from the big man. Thanks, Broads. P.S. He almost made that dunk. He was flying in the... Should he be flying in the air like that in a useless game? I mean, it's not a useless game. Are you trying to say, and I'm speculating here, that maybe it was a typo and more along the lines of in a useless time of a game? The game was already somewhat over. Was it necessary to put your body on the line to take that type of chance? For what? Yeah, the crowd would have erupted, but you have it in the bag. You're already got the victory. You're doing something just to do something. Let's take a breather and make sure we preserve your body. Is that fair to say? Yeah, I mean, okay, I'm with you. I'm not going to cry about it. I get the viewpoint. I don't think it's necessarily something to harp on, but all around, I think you hit on the most important thing here, which is when you lose against Charlotte, what does the team look like the next time you get to play? Is it more of the ugliness, or is it right back to what it was throughout the seven games? Is it more of an uh-oh, and the word I like to use is hiccup. It was just a hiccup. Then you get back into the action. If you can win Boston and you can win against the Miami Heat, that's a very, 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 very awesome task to do. And it tells me a lot about where this team is mentally and how focused they are. And that's a word that I use to really study this team right now. It seems that they are locked in the most that they have at this point. And a lot of that is because of what Joel Embiid provides, from that power, from that pop, from just MVP talks again, because now he's hitting that national media attention again. And it's interesting I mentioned that, because I believe we had a text message to the Anytime Hotline a couple games ago, maybe more like a couple weeks ago, about does Joel Embiid get enough national attention for what he is doing this season? And I thought if this continued, it would just naturally progress. And that's basically where we're at now, where, you know, people are bringing up, well, Jokic does this well, but Joel Embiid is closing in on the passing. And oh, by the way, Joel Embiid defensively is a tough ask to go around, and he's blocking Jason Tatum at the rim, sending his shit back towards the fans. You know, his ability to stand in that paint is significant, and when you think of the pros and the cons, and I'm not taking anything away from Jokic, because if you get to tell me you don't have Joel Embiid and you have Jokic, you're in a great spot. This dude is sensational, and he's a ridiculously unbelievable talent in the NBA, but Joel Embiid is making more noise, and he's putting together streaks that only very few have in this city of 30 straight points. And I know he wanted that. You could tell deep down he wanted it. You could tell by his play at the end, I want to land this. I want to make it where Joel Embiid's the only name. I got to that ninth game. You know he's sitting at home right now with his loved ones, with the baby. Damn. And I was thinking, he's probably so bothered that he's going to do eight again. He's going to do eight again and make sure he gets nine. Would you be surprised? I sure wouldn't. Locked in. Let's go. Let's make it happen. That he had that taste and he was so close to it, I won't be surprised if he's going out there with that thought of I'm doing this. All right, we'll take one more here. Frank from Central Jersey. Frank. There's no such thing, Frank. Come on now. Everybody knows it's South Jersey. It's North Jersey. It's pork roll. I don't know what Taylor ham is. It's bagel, not bagel. I don't know if that's a North Jersey or South Jersey thing. I just know morons say bagel, and that's not a thing. But Central Jersey, dude, I don't even know if I could take this text message, because you're actually living in a place that doesn't even exist. All jokes aside, Maxey's development is ridiculous to me. He's already looking like a player to build around as a franchise, because his ability to shine is through the roof already. Oh, no doubt. That's major to me, is the level of areas he's already noticeably improved. And it's more than just three-point shooting. It's ball in his hands in general, two-men game at times with the big man. And I even saw some possessions defensively, and I've seen this happen before against the James Harden as well. I nod my head with a bit of a stank face, and everybody knows in the music industry, you get a stank face, that's more than a standing ovation at an opera, right? That's more than when somebody's screaming at the end, thousands of people going for, we want more, we want more, encore, encore. Now, you get the stank face, yeah, you know you did something special if that's the case. And there's a few times I saw Max, I even saw Tobias a couple times with some nice defensive stops. As a unit, their defense was, you won't get by me tonight. And that's awesome when Al Horford's on the other side. He hit that 1-3 early. Oh, man. You hear the boos coming down when he was getting announced. He's such a hate-the-face, really. He is. Oh, God, I can't stand. Right now, in my closed eyes, I see his face. I just want to hit him with a 1-2. Ah, maybe an upper? Maybe a little MMA? Hit him with some leg kicks in the calf? So he can't put his foot down anymore? Maybe something like that. I don't know. That interview with John Anik just got me going. If you didn't take a listen, you should. For all your UFC fans out there, I got an opportunity to interview John Anik this week. It's on the YouTube channel and the podcasting platforms. So definitely make sure you check that out. And I guess that's kind of it as we went off on a random little somehow MMA fight between me and Al Horford to end the show. This was a bizarre show. I have no idea what the hell was being said. That's the beauty of this stuff. I want to thank everybody so much for hanging out with me today. Thank you guys so much, and I will see you next time.